I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome today. In the first hour of today's show, we'll speak with Maryland Housing Secretary Raymond Skinner about the state of our housing market in Maryland. And then you don't want to miss our conversation with Rose Mapendo, the 2009 United Nations Humanitarian of the Year, and the subject of a new documentary to be airing on PBS later this week. But first, let's see what's happening on the roads around Baltimore. Turn this over to WEAA Traffic, and we'll be right back. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland Housing. I'm Mark Steiner, and of course, sitting here with our Secretary of Housing, Ray Skinner. Ray, good to see you once again in our studios.
Hi, Mark. It's always good to see you. It's a pleasure to be here again.
We were talking before we started this that springtime is a time for house buying. People looking at new homes, and I know you have some thoughts about the economy where we are, and trying to buy a home in the current state of selling and buying a house.
Yes, Mark, this really springtime is historically, traditionally been the time when home sales picked up. You know, people sort of come out of their winter sleep and begin to look around for housing. And even though the economy has been in the doldrums for the past couple of years, you know, the economists say that the recession is over. We're into a recovery period now. And as part of that recovery, we're beginning to see the housing markets recover. And so we anticipate that this spring we'll see a lot more activity. And in fact, it really is a very good time to buy a home. As you know, prices are still relatively flat and maybe still decreasing somewhat. I would like to use that prices have stabilized. But overall, if you look at the data in the state of Maryland, prices have come down about 30% since the peak in 2007. So now I think is really a good time in terms of affordability and being able to find a house that you can afford. Secondly, interest rates are still very low,
right,
relatively speaking. Interest rates, you know, I guess got to an all-time low probably back in the January-February period, but now we're still relatively low. And if you're eligible, we have a terrific program at the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development called the Maryland Mortgage Program. This is a program that's typically for first-time home buyers, but in certain so-called targeted communities, you do not have to be a first-time home buyer. Mm. And this is a program where we work with private lenders and private lenders, so you can go to your regular bank, probably your bank or your credit union is one of our partners with the Maryland Mortgage Program. So you can go there and make a loan application, and you tell them that you want to apply for the Maryland Mortgage Program, and they use our underwriting criteria to make the mortgage, and then we use the proceeds from the sale of tax-exempt mortgage revenue bonds and buy those loans from the banks and hold them in our portfolio.
So does that mean that people get loans through the state or they get through their banks?
They actually get loans through the banks.
Okay.
And then we buy the loans from the bank. We actually act like a secondary mortgage market, similar to what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac do now.
And how does that change things for the buyer?
Well, I mean, we think we have a really good program in the sense that, one, our interest rates are very competitive, and secondly, we offer down payment and closing cost assistance. And as you know, particularly for a first-time home buyer, that can be really challenging,
yeah,
coming up with the money that you need to put down on a home.
Do you think you'll have a hard time finding people who want to sell given the drop in the prices of the homes, or do you think that will affect this at all?
I think sellers now have come to the realization that they're not going to get top dollar for their homes given the market.
Right.
And there are so many homes still on the market with people just trying to sell, but also the inventory of foreclosures where banks have foreclosed on the homes. And so banks have a lot of homes that they're trying to sell also.
So how do folks get in touch with Maryland Mortgage?
The best thing is to go to our website, which is www.mdhousing.org.
It's always good to have Ray Skinner here, Secretary of Housing, to bring a great optimistic note about where we're headed. Ray, good to talk to you.
Okay. Always a pleasure, Mark.
The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Today on The Mark Steiner Show, join us for a conversation with Rose Mapendo, the 2009 United Nations Humanitarian of the Year. She's a tireless advocate for the rights of refugees and for peace in her home nation, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. In the late 1990s, as her country was engulfed in violence, Mapendo was forced to flee her village. But she could only take 9 of her 10 children with her, and that's a story in itself. And then 10 years later, the daughter who was left behind was finally able to join Rose and her family in their new home in Phoenix, Arizona, which is also the home for many refugees. A new documentary, Pushing the Elephant, follows the story of this reunification and Rose Mapendo's struggle to heal her family and her continuing advocacy work for peace in the Congo. And you can visit us on the web at steinershow.org to find the exact airtimes. Today we'll speak with Rose Mapendo and hear selections from her film. But first, here's her testimony at the United Nations High Commission on Refugees.
We are very honored today to have as our guest speaker Rose Mapendo. Rose is a former Congolese refugee who was resettled to the United States in July 2000 with 9 of her children following the execution of her husband and following 16 months in a Congolese prison camp. Despite having no formal education, she taught herself to read and write, became a U.S. citizen in 2006, and helped to start Mapendo International, a humanitarian agency that assists other vulnerable refugees in Africa.
I want to share my story. Always when I share with people my story, what happened, I wished I can be last one who's suffering. Refugees is normal people like us, like you and like me. It is somebody who lost everything for 1 minute and he found himself in a death camp. When my husband died, just the time I found out I was pregnant, I was so scared. Every end of the day was the end of the life because there was camp choose some friend and took outside the killed. And every day we will think we will be the next. I gave birth to twins. It was dark, no light. I tried to find something clean. We can cut the umbilical cord. We cannot find. Everything is dirty. Everything is dirty. After we cut the umbilical cord, we cannot find something to tie to stop breathing. I took something from my hair and I tied.
Rose Mapendo?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for doing this with us today. I really appreciate it. When I heard your story and the testimony you gave at the Human Rights Conference about your what you went through, going to, through prison and the breakup of your family and the death of your husband, it's almost as if every time you seem to tell the story, you're reliving it.
Yes, exactly.
That must be. I just imagine how hard that is. It's hard enough to live with the memories, but the fact that you relive it so much by telling your story so much, how do you get through that? How are you able to do that all the time?
The most my main point to tell my story, I know nobody will change my past.
Uh-huh.
But I want just to give people message what is going on. And, you know, I am a safe place, there is somebody who's in the same situation I went through. And the people just, they still live in the same, you know, because it's a government, you know, like abusing the people or because how they look like my tribe, Banyamulenge, you know, is not, we never choose to be who we are. And I raised the witness. I made a decision to forgive, but I never forgot Because if it's impossible to forget what you have been through, because it's not funny even to tell. And the reason when I remember my best friend who died in my own eyes, their children, and I believe just a survivor for reason, I can raise the awareness to tell people what happened to me, and it happened for thousands of people. But those people, nobody will speak on their behalf, because even you, even I told you story, tell people story, there was another there. They don't understand exactly like how I feel, you know, because they never been through there, you know, that situation. And to raise awareness is it my choice, you know, even harder to leave children every day is really... For me, I give God thank you and the glory what he have done. And I give him a little bit because it's his people. You know, it's God, it's the people. We all God's people. Nobody have a choice to be who he is. And everybody should not be victim for something he didn't do it. You should be victim for what you done. But to be who you are, to be a Tutsi or a Hutu, is not a criminal. And I want the people to be aware of that. Anybody who can take an action to go to help people or to look at what is going on in their life. That's the reason I really chose to speak out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I all through the film and watching you, and as you talked about your deep belief in God, you also talked about how you walked away from God. You were so angry. You felt revenge in many ways. But and then you walked through that. It made me wonder. Could you talk a bit about your God? How you maintained belief in what you believe in, given the incredible personal destruction of your life and your family and your people. You know, you read stories of people who, in my family, who lived through the concentration camps, and some of them came back not believing in God anymore, and others came back deeply devout. So I'm very curious about how you remained so devout, and who is this God you believe in so deeply?
You know, I grew up, I was born in a Christian house. My father is pastor. He's still alive. You know, and really when he received, you know, he was a Pentecost pastor. I grew up, but after we moved, you know, we went to the another part of a country, Kasai Oriental, which wanted to raise our children, because I told you I never went to school.
Mm-hmm.
I was still believing God, even though I was separate with my family. My family, you know, because me and my husband, we chose to have a business to be, you know, happy. My husband was the only one son. He didn't have a family, you know, around him. We was a wish to have as many children as we can to make a big family, because we have the way to take care for them. And when the war began, I was prayed. Pray for God to protect my family. And I believe God is able. And I think in my mind, nothing I have done can cause, you know, the government to kill me, because I grew up in their eyes. My background, my childhood, my children, they was born when they were watching, you know. But when they broke my house, they came in to knock at the door, asking me to open. I can't open because it was like 11, you know. 11 o'clock, other people when they were asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And when they broke, and I said, I waste time to pray, and maybe there is no God. And I said, how could I rested without question what I have done, God? And I said, is you caused this? Because I knew I come from somewhere. I am not grow to the ground. There is God creation who create everything. And from that, after my executing my husband, you know, it was, I hiding my husband, I thought that we not kill even the women and the children. Sorry if I will take a long time, as you asking me. I hiding my husband under the bed, and when the soldier took us, he left in the house. And after, you know, third day, my husband, he said, my wife, he cannot be killed, and my children, and to be, you know, to say I am in hiding as a man, he gave up. When day I was arrested, I was happy for my husband to be alive, you know, but when he came, and I saw what they did for him, really, God, it was a crazy situation I can never, ever explain to anyone. My husband, I love. My husband, who never done something wrong, to be killed because of who he is. That's why I was built the hemphill in my heart. And I found out hemphill is very highly contagious. You can contaminate somebody even if you don't have a problem. And when it became to the point, imagine, you know, in a film you can see, it's just message, but we never told people exactly the story, real story, everything, what was happened. We was in the middle of the soldier, 24 hours, 7 days a week, without even take a shower. We wish to touch water maybe for 5 days when they took you to the little pond, you know, with the whistle in their mouth, without soap, just you grab the sand because the body was a rush every day, everywhere, because the lice was everywhere with children, you know, and the diarrhea of blood. And, you know, mean no matter they will kill you or they don't, you feel you will die. Imagine the pregnant situation without any food or place to put your body to sleep. And I made choice. I said, no matter what, there is God's creation. As I have a mom and dad, and myself I have a children, there is God's creation. And I said, God, he can do whatever he wants to do. And I said, I don't want to die with this angry. I don't want to die left my children with a negative situation. Even I can give them encouragement for one word to say, be strong, whatever is going to happen to you. That is the reason. And I began to pray in death camp. I was afraid even a soldier tried to, you know, very, very angry, say, why you cannot let us sleep? Because there was a goddess. They said, God never created us to be happy. But when I begin to pray, I felt I have to forgive. Because the dad, my father, he teach us when we were children. So when I forgive, when you don't forgive somebody, God will never forgive you. And I said, no matter what, no matter is me who was targeted, if I don't forgive those people who think as the enemy, no, I will not be forgiven. And if I don't forgive this, I cannot give these people message. You know, and that's, you know, make a decision. And I said, God, forgive me everything negative I have said, and forgive everyone who thought I am their enemy. And I said, you know the truth. I'm not the enemy for anyone. That really was my overcome, even helping me until today to keep doing that. Maybe sacrifice time for to be with my children, because I believe this is the people, they need to hear this message. If I forgive somebody who killed my husband, you can forgive anyone. If I forgive people who killed my pastors, if not is not killed, kill them, you know, take eyes away, take the skin away, put the salt for their body, just left it to the sun until they die, you can forgive anyone. And it really was at that point making me forgiveness. And when I forgive, and many things begin to change in my heart. And the reason I raised the witness, I know nobody can change outside without change what is inside. Because it was a change after I forgive, and I feel free, I feel peaceful. No matter the situation was worse, Even the time I named my twins after the commanders, because I was a free person and I wish everybody to be free in her heart. And believe me, without God, imagine most of the friend, they passed away, you know, and for God is merciful, he saved my life and my children, which one is amazing to me every day when I saw I am alive. That's,
you know, when I hear you tell that story, I think about this part in the film where you, I mean, this film in many ways, it's about you, it's about the suffering in the war, the power of women, but it's also about your son, John, your daughters, Amy and Nangabari, your daughter who you had to leave behind. And when you tell the story later in the film of having to give your daughter, Amy, up to the soldiers to save her brother, your son, John, who was to be really the new father of the family because he was the oldest. That was so overwhelmingly moving. I mean, there was a movie made years ago called Sophie's Choice, and it was like a Sophie's Choice to give up, literally giving up your daughter to save your son and her willingness to do it. And then your power of forgiveness out of that. It was overwhelming to tell that story, to hear that story. I couldn't stop crying just listening to you talk when you told that story. But that story you told is a story about a forgiveness and a sacrifice that's almost beyond human understanding.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, everything, you know, we did in death camp, we never thought one day we can be survived. And they really ask in my culture, if you have five girls, I'm sorry to say that, you have nothing. That is in my culture. They don't allow men to marry twice. Mm. But when you have only girls, they thought that you have nothing. They are, you know, give you chance to marry second time. And because my husband was the only child, he had just only one sister. That sister, he did not count. And when my husband was killed, and I left with John, which one was, you know, the oldest in my family. And it was more overwhelming, more, you know, I can't understand. Because I was wished to save the one, all of us. And I believe the women, if we're willing to something, we can do it. And I knew nobody can do it to make exactly happen. Even though the boy, I can give up my daughter. And still, they can kill him anyway. But because anyway, I read the Bible before. And I think the story of Esther, how Israel was not married with other people. And I said, let me try just. And I did. And really God make happen. And I thank my daughter for her sacrifice. As a child, sometimes she was ashamed, you know. That's the reason I spoke in front of people. I want to tell the people the true story. Is it not a lie? Is it not? I want the people, whatever if it's shame, this I want to tell people. Because the other people, they don't do that, and they live in the life of shame, you know, and the separation also with my daughter, who was crazy also as a mom. Mm-hmm. And to live life as a woman, death camp, and as you know how God, the way God he created us, it was a crazy situation you cannot imagine when the women imagine die from the mom. I have my friend, she was raped when she had 5 months pregnant. Her name is Zawadi. After killed her husband, in the front of her son. Seven soldiers raped her. Many things was happen. But sometimes you wonder, why are you a woman? Why are you mom? But I believe the reason to help the moms, because we are so powerful. Stronger men, no man never come from mom's womb. And we have to take that and achieve it. And we have to fighting for our life. And that's why I spoke for the behalf of women. And I work for the peace and reconciliation. It doesn't matter where they come from. Doesn't matter you are Tutsi, doesn't matter you are Hutu. Still, you are mom, you are woman. Like, we have the same karma. That's crazy.
You in the film, I think that's so... I'm becoming more and more aware of this, and you just help, I think, the world and me become more aware of the power of women.
Yes.
And you really... You come out of this male-dominated culture, but you're changing things in, well, in your own society, in your own culture. But you talk about the power of women to make peace, and the power of women, and it's women who suffer the most. I think this is, if we can understand that you're telling us, it's part of the beauty that comes out of this madness and pain.
Yes, exactly. The women. We're so powerful, very powerful. Very powerful. As I am a mom, I have a powerful to manage my children. In those kind of suffering, the way I give birth in front of children without even crying the pain, and the way I kept, maybe men cannot do it. But the reason I want to empower women, that we grow up and they put a negative in our head. They say, woman, you cannot do nothing. Or when you have the growth, you have nothing. No, the child is a child. And the women, even we change the women, we can change the nation. Because you have a wife in your house, maybe, or you have your mom. Is it easy for men to change a woman, man, but it's not easy to change a woman anyway. Very difficult to change a woman. And from that power we have, we can make even our husband to do something if they don't want to. Because, for example, I make my husband to go under hide, even though he don't like him. And I said, hey, are you crazy? Do you think they can kill women? And he believes so. Make him to go hiding for almost 1 month, you know? And for that power we have, we can change the nation if we achieve it, if we believe we are powerful. But the people, they believe we are nothing the way we was told, they misleaded. No, the children, all the kids, is a precious front for eyes of God, even though they don't accept the women to go to school in my country. Because I believe it's not mean, you know, they are stupid, no. Because they want just to be controlled for the women. They don't want the women to have any resource from income. They don't have education. They can just be in their feet. No, that is not the way human beings should be. No, we have to fight for our right. And the women, we have to believe it before. Change what is inside. We can change outside. If we change, we believe we are powerful. Yes, we can do it. All together, Zenata mean, that is the reason they're pushing the elephant. All together, we can push this elephant. From my experience and somebody's experience, we can make a difference.
You're listening to our interview with Rose Mapendo, the 2009 United Nations Humanitarian of the Year. Don't go away, because we'll be right back with more of our conversation with Rose Mapendo. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advancing stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. Today we're talking with Rose Mapendo, a refugee from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Let's hear a clip from Pushing the Elephant, a new documentary about her work.
It's time for this week's CNN Hero. Tonight we salute a truly remarkable woman. 10 years ago, Rose Mapendo survived a harrowing experience in a Congolese death camp.
I'm Susan Sarandon, and my hero fights for the survival and resettlement of refugees.
I'm so concerned about how the future for these people will be.
I really want to invite the women, sit down and talk, just ourselves, because we have something very private. We cannot talk in public. What is our friend, our family they are going through?
Women should be, with their testimonies and their capacities, at the table of peace negotiation.
Can all this pain be turned to power? Our next guests believe so.
You know, I've traveled extensively around the world, kind of documenting the rape minds of the world. Nothing in my experience is what I've seen in the Congo. Nothing.
When you say about rape of women, believe me, I saw something you can never imagine. Every human being, you have to think, if this situation happened to your mom, happened to your daughter, happened to your friend, how can you do to bring peace to the country?
And some people, they say, who can make a difference? Always you have to say, is it me?
I want to share my story. When I think about refugee in camp, it's a picture always in my heart. And when I came, I never forgot the people I left behind.
What you just heard was footage from Pushing the Elephant, a new documentary about our guest, Rose Mapendo.
There was a part in the film where you were talking with your son, John, and you were about to go to the Congo, to go back to the to Africa, to Kenya, and into the Congo. And you had this incredible dialogue with him where he didn't want you to leave and was trying to tell you why you needed to stay. And I wonder what you think the future of the Congo is. I mean, when you go back to work with women and go back to try to create mediation between people who are in conflict, whose cultures are killing one another, what do you think the future is for your home country, for neighboring countries like Rwanda?
Yes. I really believe, first of all, I feel my heart. I have to do what I can. The rest is for God. And I have to raise the awareness, because the Congo is not going to be changed from people outside. The people in Congo is asking we make change. People can make a business for Congo. But because we knew the truth, why we're fighting for. And the other people, they try to help, but they don't know what caused the septum. People see the septum outside, and the people fight for the septum, but they don't know the cause. And before to fighting the septum or to be treat the septum, can we found the cause? We can treat this disease harmful from one another. Thus, I really have hope. If I don't have hope, why I can keep doing that?
Mm-hmm.
I have hope one day the Congolese Banyamulenge and the Congolese native, and we are all native country because we separate by colony. But why you kill us the way God make us? One day, I want to use to work to help both sides, from Hutu Congolese and the Tutsi Banyamulenge, both the same. I will not choose anybody because we all human, and nobody has a choice to be who is. Through that action, just as the reason I said, let me help the women for network, peace and reconciliation, take the medical assistance, because my mind said, God, what I can do, thing cannot benefit only my people. The people can benefit for anyone. I said, hospital, nobody can say this is the Tutsi hospital. Hospital, it will be for both, everybody, every mom. We have a treatment, every woman or anybody hopeless, she can have treatment at the hospital, because the hospital can choose. Or I was said, I will build the school, school, which one with the United children from Hutu and Tutsi together, all together, you know, then we can make it a better place. That's why I really make, since I came to this country, I raised 4 million to help the refugee from my tribe, from Sudan, from Somalia, when I was working with Mapendo International. That's why I have a humanitarian of the year. Through the work I done, that is already make big impact. And I have even something when I travel, the Hutu people, they said they can never believe the Tutsi woman can help them or any Tutsi. From that is create the positive message. They love us. You know, we are the same. And create them the positive message in their life. Which one we help them for the generation, the young coming. That's really, I believe, there is hope for the Congo. Even people that take serious, other people I spoke to, take action to find what caused this, the Congo will be, it will be different.
Part of the beauty of this story is watching the transition that your beautiful daughter Nangabari went through, who you had to leave behind with your husband's parents when you left, because he didn't want you to leave. He didn't want you to leave him without any children to work, and girls seem to do all the work. And she went through a lot of struggle coming to this country, not being able to speak English, and but it, part of this story in this film was part of was her growth with you.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine my daughter, she never went, have a chance to go to school. Is how millions of refugees have separated with their family. Devastated, thinking, where is my children are? Or if they're dead, or if they're still alive. Imagine the girl, her age, who never went to the elementary school. And they come, struggle, suffering, work all kind of work because she's a girl. You know, because she's a girl. I try to give them the boys because they knew we look like we are slaves, even for our own family. Myself, I was chosen to be taken care of my younger brother, my big brother, because I am a girl in my own, my father, my mom. My mama, they chose me. Other sibling, my brother, they went to school. It's the same thing. It's not only my daughter. This cannot change maybe for my daughter, but somebody else, through her story, through her struggle, to be adjusted to this country. Even now, we don't live together. I send her to the, you know, dorm room. She mm-hmm. can learn quickly when she's focused for school, because she cannot have even graduated from high school because of her age. That's why I want to raise awareness that people can understand about refugee life. Refugee life is people who never choose to be a refugee or choose to be coming to this country. We are not immigrants. We are refugee. Because the refugee, we're forced to leave our country for no reason. And from struggle for my daughter, we give other people idea what the refugee separation with mom, hopeless, and, you know, children who never have a chance to go to school. She's beautiful. She's smart. You know, there is many hundreds, thousands like her who need help.
Do you think that, your work for peace, for understanding, for women, as the women of the center for fighting for peace, do you think it has changed, may alter the role of women among Tutsi, Hutu, other people?
Yes. You know, I imagine, I said, one person cannot push the elephant.
Right.
All together. But the people I spoke to, I went to Goma for a peace conference. Anybody was pushing, first of all, I don't have education. You know? And everybody were pushing me down. So why a woman, she can say it? And I was just put the group of women, share the testimony, talk to them, and say, you know, they said, yeah, you're from the America. What do you want to tell us? Because you never been through here. And I begin to share my testimony. My heart is to change one. If I cannot change the world, I can change just one person. That life is so important. I try to do something. If my experience can change one woman, her life to be overcome and to be free from the bondage of neglect, of suffering, of shame, is so huge. Even I spoke, then I mean, I can change the world by myself. I cannot even inspire everybody. But through those messages I give to the women, everybody was sharing a message, even the place I was not there. And as soon as when I was shopping, the people, they said, the president needed to meet you. They came to look at me when I was shopping. Me is the one to show you is a very big impact to the people's life. And the women, they said, we spend the whole week in this conference without to know why we were here. Now, exactly, we have a message we can take home, and we knew why we were here now. I believe, you know, make a huge impact, as I told you. I'm not reaching everybody. Mm-hmm. When I accept the people to film my film or the crazy story, is it not mean nobody will change my past? Can you please, anybody, support us? We can reach many people. This film can show, you know, many people, whatever they are, to help these people who are suffering. That's the point. And that's one giving me big hope. There is change, and it's already changed to the women. I have already network. I help women for, you know, to have small business. I start even before I start Mapendo New Horizon.
I have to ask you how, after watching the film and reading your story, how your lovely daughters Nangabari and Aimee and your son John and the twins and the, how are they doing?
Thank you so much. My twins, they are in sixth grade right now. They're doing very well in school. And my daughter, Nangabiri, she's in Tucson. She's studied to be a nurse assistant.
Uh-huh.
And then my son, John, he's started pharmacist to be a pharmacy.
Uh-huh.
And all the other children, they are one son, he's in college also. He wants to be engineer, and the rest, they are in high school. Three of them, they are in high school. You know, can you imagine how big a change in their life?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can you see the way they came, how, you know, they're big change in their life, and they can pursue, you know, have a happiness like after young, you know.
The twins who were born, of course, in the prison camp when you were in prison, and John and the rest, they seem, when you watch them, they seem so American now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the way they speak, the way they move. I mean, just all of their mannerisms, they seem so American.
Exactly. Even my son, I met him, one of the twins, when you can hear my big accent.
Yes.
And when he asking me question, he looked me in my eyes and said, Mom, did you speak English? You know, and Mapendo, New Horizon, we believe it to empower the youth also. Because as you said, your children look like American. It's the same thing, if we change the youth, they change very quickly.
Yes.
They pick up very quickly, and the youth is the world of tomorrow. As we grow up, we are getting old. What the world tomorrow will be, if we don't power, if we don't train these children, you know, to pursue their happiness, to be educated like other children. You know, that is the only way, I believe, the peace, through durable peace, we come from action, empower people, give them what to do, let people go to school, let the women have an education like everybody. Think the women, they say, men cannot survive without men. Women.
It's
and
true.
The women, we cannot survive without men either. God, he chose all of us. We're so important to each other. But why the youth and the women, they pay the consequence of the war? Why? And we are not a politician. Why the government, their wives, they are safe place, but they don't count life of other women like theirs. All their children, everybody wants his children to have better country, better education. Why could you think about somebody else? Because God created that person for his purpose. It's not for you. And nobody can be a president without the people. The money they have, it's not from their pocket. It's from the poor, these people. That's make the president or the government to be a government.
It's you know, you have to believe that the emancipation and empowerment of women is the key to changing this world.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I do.
So tell me now about what Mapundo New Horizons is doing. Where is the organization now?
We are Mapundo New Horizon. The office we have is here in Phoenix, Arizona, and we choose to work with the LAC region. LAC region is between Congo and Burundi and Rwanda. Those people fighting about tribe is not a religion. And the Mapendo New Horizon, we are building the clinic in Rwanda right now. It's almost done. And we need the people to help us. We ask the America Resource Foundation. They said they will give us equipment to just send to the hospital, you know, to help the people, hospital, to be diagnosed. There is many women, and they have a disease, and they don't have even equipment, you know. And Mapendo New Horizon, we want to train the doctor in the local. Some people, when it's an emergency, for example, people can go to the Japan. Japan is an example, sorry to say that, or Haiti. They took all the medical expertise, they go to help people, and after when the situation is a little better, and the people wrap up everything they have, and they come back. But the people in the local, they still same situation. And the Mapendo New Horizon, we are thinking, because my brother, we worked together, he was a doctor. He came just for my rescue, because I was depressed. But he learned to be a doctor when my sister, she passed away when she was giving, you know, for childbirth. My sister, one who have a high school diploma. When I came here, my brother, I said, I can't make it in this country without language, without read or write. My brother, he came. Now my brother, they are going to training the local doctors, supported them with equipment, let them have training. They can help people local and help, you know, local people. They can be there and present for every day. They're not moving or come back and go wherever they come from. And Mapendo also is believe the power of empowering women through action, give them training, show them how they're so equal, no one is better than the other, and help them the same way. And Mapendo is doing a network to empower women and youth, because we want youth to go to school, really, we do. Even people can learn a language. Even they can learn the English to connect with the other youth to see the world today, technology. That youth, government is using youth to empower them to go to fight. When the government give them guns, he said, through these guns, you can achieve anything. You can have a beautiful woman you want. You can have money from somebody you want. But sooner when those youth go to fight, and they got killed, or they got handicapped, they got shot somewhere, and nobody can help them. Those people, if we can empower them, connect the youth, America youth, and the Africa youth, they can learn and they have a better education to help their family and their, you know, to pursue their happiness. There is people like my children, children who have a dream, but they never have a chance to go to school.
Rose Mapendo, this has just been, I've been so looking forward to having this conversation with you and meeting you at least by recording and telephone. I just want to thank you for taking your time with us today.
Thank you very much, and God bless you.
And God bless you, and I hope that one day our paths will cross. Thank you for joining us for the Mark Steiner Show today. We've been speaking with Rose Mapendo, a refugee from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and subject of the new documentary, Pushing the Elephant. Pushing the Elephant will air on Maryland Public Television on Tuesday, March 29th, and Wednesday, March 30th. And you can find out exact times by coming to our website, steinershow.org. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a conversation about the legacy of civil rights and the civil rights movement in Chestertown, Maryland. Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's New E-Zines, where you can get your weekly fix of arts and culture, food and drink, home and design, style and shopping, and green and sustainable topics. Updated information can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at urbanitebaltimore.com.